Episode 108 of the Family Podcast Network. Man, I really like barbecue sandwiches.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, but even those that aren't. Day today is June the 4th, 2012. The date today, or the topic for today, is going to be teen pregnancy, why modern intervention is not working. Today is, of course, Media Monday, the day of the week where we pull out something from the media that talks about family and or parenting, and we put it into a little bit of a perspective. We're going to talk a little bit today about teen pregnancies. Very hard topic to talk about. A lot of people get very upset to talk about this, and one of the primary reasons is that people are very uncomfortable to talk about sex. Typically, people know very little about sex in the grand scheme of things. They think they do. Because they feel like they've been educated through TV or maybe through a little spiel that they got in high school or whatever else in sex education. But the fact of the matter is, most people are very awkward and very uncomfortable with sex. And so because of that, they are very, very nervous about talking to their kiddos about sex. And anyway, we're going to go over an article today, and they pulled a quote from a particular young lady who, when they asked, what are they going to do different with their kids, we're going to talk about their response and how their response is actually very similar to what the majority of people's suggestions are with all of this, and then why it doesn't really work. Then we're also going to talk a bit about how do we make it work. How do we be successful when it comes to our kids and teen pregnancies? Great topic. Definitely going to want to stay tuned for that today. But before we get into that, guys, let's go over some real quick housekeeping. Guys, consider signing up if you want to get free updates and information of what's going on here at the Family Podcast Network. Want to know what's going on throughout the week and what the heck are the topics that we're going over? You can find out about those in advance in your email early in the morning. Then you can know if you want to jump over today and check out Trey's podcast. Since we offer 5 a week, it's one of the better ways that you can check out to see if you want to listen to today's episode. It's over there. There's an email box right on the right for our site that you can go out and check out. You just enter your name, email, super easy to do. Guys, also consider sharing this on Facebook and Twitter. You can also check me out at places like YouTube, Pinterest, etc. If you look at the upper top hand bar of the website, you'll see where we have put down a list of stuff for you guys to be able to go click on and check us out. Again, you've got your options between RSS, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Pinterest. A lot of people ask me, Trey, what the heck is RSS? RSS is if you don't have a Facebook account, you don't have a Twitter account, you don't want to sign up to YouTube, or you don't have anything on Pinterest or any of those other things, how can you do it and just use your browser bar to know what's new and going on? That's what the RSS feed is for. That's just to save people time and effort of having to go log into, like, say, Facebook or download iTunes or Stitcher onto your phone, whatever else. Quicker and easier way that you can access what's going on here at Family Podcast Network through your actual browser. So go check those out. Those are some of the great places to do that. Also, you guys can go check out Trace Tidbits over at YouTube, a new little small segment that we're doing. And then also, guys, you can listen to us or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, Delicious, or on my RSS feed as always. Be willing and ready to check those out. Now, super duper flipping cool piece of technology that I found at the very end of last week. If you'll notice, if you're on the webpage, www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, if you will look over in the right-hand bar over there, it says, send me a voicemail. I found a super stinking cool piece of tech through a place called SpeakPipe that allows you to, as long as you have a microphone attached to your computer, you can click on that and click start recording, and you can leave me a dadgum voicemail. As simple as clicking on that and hit start recording, it'll record for you, then it'll give you the opportunity to enter in your name and an email address. and then you can send those off to me. So if you have a question for me, you're like, Trey, I didn't understand what you meant when you said on episode 107, you talked about how you dropped the ball. I didn't know what you meant when you said this. Or, Trey, I was wondering if you could put out an article about that. We get those requests. I have a very good turnaround rate on those. I try to get those back to you just as soon as humanly possible. So if you want to send me a voice message, or if you're like, hey, Trey, on parenting resources page, I noticed there's a glitch and there's some junk code sticking out, any of those kinds of things, that's what that's for. It's there for you guys to have quick access to me. Once you send it, I get an email, and I will check it as soon as I humanly can and get back to you guys with a response. So check out the Send Me a Voicemail powered by SpeakPipe over on the right-hand sidebar. Awesome piece of addition to the website. I was so excited when I found that this week. Guys, if any of you guys have been trying to sign up through my iTunes account, if you've been trying to log in through iTunes, I realized today that I've been in iTunes for a while. However, I haven't actually submitted my podcast to the store. I just realized that those are two very separate events, and so I have now submitted myself to iTunes. I am waiting for a feedback for all of you guys who have been wondering where that is. I offer a sincere apology on that. I was not aware that those were two separate and different things. I listen to about five or six podcasts a week, and about half of those are on professional podcasting. And so I have no idea how I missed that piece of information, considering how much study and research I do on effective and professional podcasting. So anyway, guys, my apologies. We'll have that up and running as soon as possible. Once I do, I'll put a link to the subscription page, the subscription URL through Apple's, they call it their AFOS or whatever software. But anyway, we'll get that knocked up for you guys and get that corrected so that way you guys will be able to a little more easily access the podcast in there. And I also may have a few of you guys, once it does get up, see if I can get a few of you guys over there just to sign in and maybe rate the podcast and what you guys think of it. Should be super simple. Well, all right, guys, with all that out of the way, let's jump into our topic for today of teen pregnancy, why modern intervention is not working. There is, for lack of any better or more sophisticated term, there is a smorgasbord of information on teen parenting. I mean, there is all stuff out there. There's statistic pages. There is report pages. I mean, there's different kinds of belief systems, whether they're written from spiritual or non-spiritual context. There's stuff from the, you know, abortion's okay? No, I mean, there's just tons of stuff out there. And there's a ton of stuff on things like how do you prevent it? You need to be talking to your kids about it. You know, you need to be handing out condoms, etc. And I'm going to take approach today. I don't care what your belief system is. I don't care if you believe in your belief system is that you teach and you advocate for abstinence. I don't care if you teach and you preach that you hand out every single kid a condom as many as they want, as much as they want. I don't care which one of those you do. We're going to talk a little bit today why handing out condoms doesn't do it and why telling your kids don't have sex doesn't do it either. Those two things alone don't mean squat in the long run to a kid and rarely, if ever, really produce the results. Here's what I will say. When you do get the results out of doing one of those two things or a host of other things that you might be doing preventative, I'm not saying those are the only two things you could be doing. But we're going to talk today about how neither one of those things are enough. And we're going to talk about what's that magic piece that makes talking to our kids about teen pregnancy and them not getting pregnant what makes it successful. All right, guys. I wanted to bring up an article for you guys that I was reading earlier today. It was right off of Yahoo.com news. I thought it was pretty good. It was written by Laura Tillman. It was called Fighting U.S.'s Worst Teen Pregnancy Rate in Mississippi. Now, I'm not here to dog on Mississippi. There's no telling what states, including Texas, where I live, what those could be worse. How many people are actually reporting? Who knows? Excuse me, guys. I'm taking a couple sips of green tea so my voice doesn't crack out on me. So, I'm not going to read the majority of this article for you. If you want to go check it, I will put a link to it in the show notes today. It was really, really, really good. But they just kind of follow this one particular student named Dunya Holland, and they talk about all-nighters for semesters and how it's a lot harder for them because of their infant daughter, etc. But I wanted to talk about one comment that they put in here. Because, and this is not to dog on Holland's comment in this. It's not to dog on her for what she's saying. I'm bringing this up today because I actually think she epitomized what most people think is effective teen pregnancy prevention in America. I think she's been fed this just like everybody else has been. And she said this. So part of the goal is to change patterns for communication about sex. It persisted for years. Then she goes on to quote and saying, I'm going to talk to her. This is her daughter. So this is Holland's talking about her infant. I'm going to talk to her more about it and inform her, Holland said of her five-month-old daughter, because I didn't have that talk with my mom. I had to learn on my own. Now, first off, the premise behind this mentality is exactly right. We need to be talking to our kids about sex. We need to be talking to them about what it is, what it does, the consequences of, how I honestly believe we need to tell our kids that it rocks, that it is amazing, that it is incredible. I also serve as a youth minister at my church. And I'm slightly iconoclastic in that because I get up on stage and when we talk about relationships, one of the first things that I tell those youth is, okay, guys, I'm gonna blow something out of the water. Sex rocks. I start out with that because I want them to know that I'm trying to come clean with him. I'm trying to be honest with him. I'm trying to be upfront with him about what sex is, and I'm not trying to hide anything from him. I want them to know that I think it rocks so much that I want to see them get into the position where they can be having sex as quickly as possible. Now, under my spiritual beliefs, and this is just my beliefs, I'm not trying to push these, but under my belief system, that needs to happen within a marriage. Because within the constructs of a marriage, that's where intimacy can really happen. You bond, and then you stick with it. Now, a lot of people would argue, well, Trey, there's a lot of people that are getting married and then having sex, and then they're still breaking up and divorcing. And I throw my hands up and say, I agree with what you're saying. However, I do believe that sex causes a blending of two people, regardless of how much people may say, oh, it's just this or that. It's just, you know, it's just the process, just biological. I honestly and firmly believe that it is just as much emotional, as evidenced by the kiddos, the ladies, the girls that I've counseled afterwards who are just emotionally destroyed after giving themselves, they would say, after giving themselves to these guys and then them splitting and taking off. There's an emotional construct to it. There's no doubt about that. Even the people that say it's biological, I think in most cases admit that there's an element to it that's emotional. So we really push, you know, the absence is there. But anytime I teach it to my kids, I always talk to them right out the gate. Sex is awesome. Sex rocks. So we as parents need to be being straight to our kids about what sex is right at the beginning. So the questions that I was getting, well, when do you start talking to them about it? I recommend you start them as soon as you can on the terminology as quickly as you can. I highly recommend that with little kids, do not call them winkies or woo-woos or ta-tas. Or I knew one lady that called a vagina a coolie. I recommend start them on that terminology as soon as you can. And the reason for that is that typically we Americans, whenever we begin to form code words or alternative forms like that, why do we do it? It's typically because we're ashamed of it. I mean, think about it. That's what the drug scene is, right? That's why there's 1,000 different, you know, pop-cultured words for certain substances. It's because they're ashamed of what they're doing. They're trying to hide it, so they come up with different names. Instead of calling it marijuana or tetrahydrocannabis, they call it Mary Jane or whatever else. I mean, there's 1,000 different things that, you know, there's weed, etc. They come up with all these different names for it. And so I highly recommend start your kids out as early as you can talking to them about, hey, that's your penis. That's your vagina. That's your breast. Those are your testicles. One of the biggest things that I recommend is get your spouse and start getting comfortable saying those words. If you're like me, I firmly believe that within me there still lies that 13-year-old boy. I mean, my wife and I, well, you know, I won't get into that, but... Today we were sitting there talking about something and somebody said something like nuts or something like that. And I held it in, but my wife started chuckling and I was so proud of her in that moment. I was so proud of her. But get comfortable saying those things with your spouse. Get comfortable saying penis, vagina, breast, nipples. I mean, get comfortable saying those things. Get really comfortable saying, because I'm telling you, kids have just a built-in radar for understanding when you're uncomfortable. And we want our kids to know this is a very comfortable thing. There's no reason why we can't talk about this comfortably. It doesn't mean that this is not a conversation we want to be careful with or anything like that. But I think we parents, we make a mountain out of a molehill in this kind of conversation. So get yourself comfortable with the terminology right at the start. And start using that as they go. So when do you start talking to them about actual sex? In most cases, if you're building a good relationship with your kids, they're going to ask you questions. But today it came up for us. We were sitting down and we were talking about cicadas. And my daughter had found one of those cicadas. And cicadas here in Texas will split their skin and they'll come out and they'll fly away. And they'll leave behind their shell, their old skin left behind. And my daughter got to see one of those for the first time today. She's like, oh my gosh, Dad, what is this? This is so cool. Let me check this out. What is this? I want to know what this is. So we were going through some education about what it was. And all of a sudden a cicada went off. She goes, oh, Dad, listen, that's a cicada. Maybe they're calling to their friends. And I said, yeah, maybe they're calling to their friends. Maybe it's a mating ritual. And she goes, now, wait, what? What's a mating ritual? And I said, oh, well, that's basically whenever two cicadas will make sounds to attract each other. So that way they can have sex and then have more baby cicadas. And so I thought, is this the moment? And I watched her, and she just finally, you could really see the gears. You just hear the gears were clicking and the whirs and whirs and whirs and whirs. And the little motor was going up there. But you could just tell she wasn't ready, because eventually she sat there for a little bit, and I saw that little flash of a Windows screen. It says, does not compute, it just didn't compute, and she kept on swinging and didn't bring it up. You know what? She wasn't ready for it. But I was ready to dangle that conversation in front of her. And one of these days, she'll go, she'll say, Dad, what is this? And I say, well, the sex is when you do this and that, next and this. And then she'll begin to ask questions. I know that day will come. So long as you have the good relationship with them. So let's get back to the article. I'm going to talk to her more about it, inform her, Holland said of her 5-month-old daughter, because I didn't have that talk with my mom. I had to learn on my own. I want to make sure that something is very clear, though. I completely endorse this statement. Let me be clear on one thing. Talking to your kids about sex is not enough. It is not enough. You say, well, what do you mean, Trey? It is significant and it is excellent, and I'm not dogging it, and I am saying you need to be doing it. I will be doing it with my kids as much as I possibly can, because I want to be the one to educate my kids about sex, not some stupid TV show, not some freaking retarded kid at school. I mean that metaphorically in this case, no offense intended. But not some little tart at school who knows nothing about sex but thinks he knows everything. I want to be the one to teach my kids about that. So let me tell you a story of why this works. Why is talking to our kids about sex not enough? A while back, we had gone down to spend some time with my family, and we were loading up to come back, and we had all gotten in the car, and my daughter had this giant soda with her, and we started getting in the car, and we were about, we passed through a town and said, sweetie, you need to go potty, and she goes, no. I said, okay. And I said, well, sweetie, we're not going to stop again. If we pass this convenience store, you're going to have to make it all the way the rest of the way home. She looked at me and said, ah, Dad, it's not that bad. And I believed her. She goes, it's not that bad. I can wait that long. So we started going, and she picked up her big old giant soda, and she just started taking these big draws of this soda. And I looked back there, and I said, Anna, that is not a good idea. That's why. So if you drink a whole bunch of water like that, it has the propensity, the likelihood to make you need to pee more, to need to urinate even worse. And she just goes, I just think I'm going to keep drinking it, Dad. And I said, that's okay, sugar. I said, my biggest concern is that we're going to get, down the road a little bit of ways, and all that water, all that soda you're drinking is going to process. Next thing you're going to know, you're going to need to really, really, really go potty. And then you're going to have to hold it the rest of the way home, and that's going to be painful. And she goes, okay, yeah, I think I'm just going to keep drinking, Dad. I said, all right, baby. I said, all right. And I let her drink that Coke, and then guess what happened? A few miles down the road, all of a sudden I see Anna's eyes light up. I mean, just got huge. And she sat her little drink down real slowly, and she looked up at me and said, oh, Daddy, you were so right. I wish you guys could have seen it. I would just have died if I could have got that on camera. And those were the if you guys could have seen her eyes light up and just go, oh, Dad, you were so right. And we got home, and I mean, she did the little potty waddle all the way to the door, you know, and I very specifically got the keys out, and I flew out of the car, and I had that door open for her, and she did the penguin waddle all the way to the bathroom, and she went bathroom, and I was bringing stuff from the day in from our trip, and she came back up to me, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Dad, next time I'm going to listen to you. Next time I'm going to listen to you." What had happened was, she was still working on building up trust with me in this area. And because she had no trust with me in this area, she didn't take my advice. And when she didn't take my advice, she had to experience uncomfortableness. So many parents want to sit down with their teens and say, "Don't have sex because it does this or it does that, or because we believe in this, or because I'm not going to take care of you and your baby." Most of us want to do that. But we're not willing to build the trust up in advance. We don't take time to build and learn and earn their trust as young kids. So how do you do that, Trey? How do you build trust in your kids? Number one, talk to them about what you believe as a person. In many cases, your kids will just take your advice because they don't have anybody else to draw from. So talk to your kids about what you believe as a family. But number two, if your kid does not take it, allow them to fail. Failure is an amazing thing for a kid. I was just reading an article. We're going to have a lady come on, hopefully this week. I'm about to send out an email to her now, but we're hopefully going to get a lady on this week that I'm just super excited about. Her name, I want to see if I can get those articles pulled up. Her name is Dr. Donna Volpita, I believe. Dr. Donna Volpita. I've been checking her out all this weekend before I invited her over. And I love her stuff. And one of the things she was commenting on in one of her articles was she talked about how Generation Y has become the teacup generation. I thought, teacup? Well, they're called teacup generation because this is the generation of kids that after a crisis occurs, because they have had no experiences in their life, they fall and they break. After one crisis, teacup generation, they're fragile. And I thought that was so, so good. And we're going to have her come on and talk a little bit this week about resilience and building resilience in our kid. But this is one of the greatest ways is number one, give your kids their advice. Allow them to understand what you believe. But number two is let them fail when they decide not to take it. Because it is those failures that make us want to trust later. If we come in and say, "Don't do that because this is going to happen," and they do it anyway, and then that happens. That failure that we allow actually gives them the opportunity to trust us more. And it is a very, very beautiful thing. So talk to your kids about what you believe, and then allow them to fail. So why is it that talking with our kids and telling them to use condoms, why is it that talking to our kids and telling them to be abstinent doesn't work? Because by itself, it is ineffectual. There needs to be a relationship. It's why I tell you guys, at the very end of every flipping show I do, never forget, it's all about the relationship. If you don't have a relationship, it's like acknowledging that you have a convoy of trucks that you've got to get across a river, but you don't have a bridge. Without a relationship, there is no bridge. And your convoy of great and awesome advice and wisdom and experience that you want to get across to your kids cannot make it unless there's a bridge. And that bridge is relationship. Building up with our kids, talking with them, expressing our wisdom, loving on them, letting them talk. Accepting them as a person. It is a beautiful thing. Guys, the principle that I'm talking about here works for everything. When I say it's all about the relationships, I don't just mean with kids. I mean with your spouse. If you don't have a good relationship with your spouse, it doesn't matter how good of information you're trying to convey to them. If that bridge ain't there, you ain't getting that convoy across. It's that way with your wife, your husband, your spouse, your boss, everybody. Our Aunt Jack, whoever, if you don't have a relationship built up with somebody at the start, it is very unlikely that anything that you are wanting to convey to them will ever make it across that bridge. Be abstinent. Use condoms. Whatever your belief system is, it ain't going to work if the relationship ain't there. How'd you like my Texas ain't? I threw that in there. So before you go and talk to your kids about sex, make sure that you've built a relationship up. You say, well, Trey, I've talked to them about it, and they're still doing this, and they're still doing that. My guess is you're missing something in the component of relationship. Are you spending time with your kid? I mean, really spending good quality time with him. My guess is it's probably not. You say, well, Trey, we have an hour a week. Yeah, but is it quality? You can spend an hour with a kid and tear him up and destroy him. Make sure that you're spending that time. Very, very, very important. Remember, we always tell our kids that if they want to be able to do certain things, they've got to earn our respect. It is the same for kids and us. If we want our kids to do what we want them to do, we have to earn their respect. I'm not talking about being liked all the time. A parent is not to be liked at all times. We're going to upset our kids. We're going to frustrate them. We're going to disappoint them. And because we are human and fallible, we're going to screw up. It is a part of the human condition. We will do that. But we, just like anybody else, with anyone else, or anyone else for us, we've got to earn our kids' respect. It does not come innate. It is not genetic. Earn your kids' respect. But guys, that's all we've got today for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a great week. Have a great day today on this wonderful, lovely Monday morning. We will see you guys bright and early Tuesday morning. And never forget, it is all about the relationships with your kids. You guys have a great day.